Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to another week of the Expressway right here. Joining me with my very best co-host and colleague, former running back of the New York Giants, the BT Express, Bill Taylor. I'm your co-host, Charles. Show me the way here for another exciting week of New York Giants, New York Jets, and world of sports news from across the world. And like nothing else, we're talking about Saquon Barkley's update on contract status. Obviously, everyone knows that Saquon did not sign a new lucrative 4 or 5 year deal, breaking the bank of at least $20 million, like we all, at least all former running backs, wish he would have done. But unfortunately, as we've stated on numerous occasions on many weeks right here on this show, we've always said that running backs aren't valued as much as they were when we played or even before then. And so the game has changed. The position has changed. The things the position needs to do has changed. And Billy, it's a dark, dark day for any running back, especially let alone baby running backs that are dreaming to be the next Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. They might want to decide to change positions after this past week. What do you think?
Well, see, the thing about me, Charles, is that, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple months, you know, and every week it gets worse and worse. And I really, you know, even though we've both been retired for a little while, I'm really disappointed on what has happened because I know what it takes to be a running back. I know that, you know, I had a knee, arthroscopic knee surgery in my third year, and I worked harder than I've ever worked in my whole life just to get back to normal. And for Saquon to work as hard as he did, he had 2,000 yards his first year. He got a little bit hurt his second year, but he came back strong. And last year, helped the Giants get to the playoffs, was the main man on offense. He did whatever they asked him to do. He's been a good person, a good citizen. We talk about, the class of a person, and the Giants always pick people with class. They don't really try to get people that have problems with them. And I just think that this is a negative setback for the NFL because you talk about what he did. I mean, the Giants have been losing for so long. Matter of fact, 7 years. And I'm a season ticket holder, so I know because nobody wanted my tickets. And then last year, for the first time, they made the playoffs. They won 9 games. Saquon was a gigantic part of that. And I know that he thought, just like you and I, that he was going to get compensated for what he did. And I could look on his face. I could tell by his email that he's disappointed. And how are you going to turn that back? And I know he's going to make $10 million, but if you look at it, he's going to go 7 years because they can do the same thing next year without becoming a free agent. And that's not what the NFL is about. And I think that this is a negative. As a matter of fact, they say that Saquon Barkley, the running backs, are in the lower echelon of paid people. The other people who are below them are kickers and punters. So I just think this is a bad negative, Charles Way. And, you know, both you and I are positive people, but I think Saquon deserves what he can get. And to get him way down there, and you're paying your defensive tackle, Dexter, something like 20-something million, you're paying Williams, the other defensive tackle, a lot of money. And Williams was hurt last year, just like other people, but he's still getting paid. So I'm really disappointed.
Yeah. And then this week's show, we're going to actually talk about what this offseason signings look like, what running backs we're getting paid. And, you know, we're going to go through some of the running backs that are still free agents that haven't been signed. And that's a who's who of running backs. You know, Ezekiel Elliott is still out there. Dalvin Cook is still out there. You know, Leonard Fournette is still available. So there are a lot of quality running backs still out there not being picked up, whether it's because they're asking for too much money or teams don't think they have it. They got too much tread on those wheels and they won't be able to last an entire year. We'll look at that as well. And then in our third quarter, I want to talk about, given how running backs, the status of the running back position has become so diminished, will we ever see a gold jacket worthy running back from this group of talent that we're watching today? Because obviously there is a certain standard that you have to meet to be gold jacket Hall of Fame, for those who are not with the lingo, Hall of Fame ready running backs. And the only person that I can think of that played for less than 6 or 7 years was Jim Brown, who's deservedly so who has a gold jacket. But I don't think any running back today, if you don't play for more than 5 years, you're going to be one of those guys that'll get a gold jacket.
Well, there was a running back when I was coming out. His name was Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
And he had two knee surgeries. He only played 6 years, but he had such an exciting 6 years, they put him in the Hall of Fame. A running back for years and years has been one of the best athletes in the game. And I still think they are because of all the things they have to do. Saquon Barkley plays three downs. He didn't have to come out in passing situations. His pass blocking has improved. His ability to catch the ball, I think he tied or led the Giants in receiving plus rushing. And so I just think this is a negative, you know, because you think of, and someone said the other day, and you kind of corrected me on that, that the running back, maybe they need to not have a running back. And that's what Derrick Henry said, because they're not paying them. So the demise of the fullback is first. And you know that as a former fullback, they're not giving you, I don't know how many teams are playing fullbacks.
Yeah, there aren't that many teams right now that even have a fullback on their roster. They're just converting either an offensive lineman or a tight end and having him play that position if they have a need for that position. So I think the running game in general has changed, has evolved, and it's due to more of that college spread, wide open offense, where you get run pass option. The RPO scheme is conducive to not your ground and pound football that we were accustomed to. And I guarantee you, and this is why Derrick Henry had an issue, if teams went back to that pro style of offense where you do have a lineup with two backs in the backfield, a tight end or two tight ends, you can be just as successful. I was just having a conversation with one of our coaches, and I'm like, the reason why they went into this spread RPO four wide out type of offense is because colleges couldn't compete with the juggernauts like Alabama or Georgia. And it gave them a better opportunity to line up against those behemoth of teams and give them a chance to at least compete, maybe not win, but compete. Because you can't line up in a pro style offense in college against a Georgia who has NFL starting four in front of a Pee Wee League team. If you're like Florida A&M or Florida, you know, or Grambling, you can't compete. You can't run the ball against that. And so that's where that offense evolved from, that Chip Kelly style of offense, is because that was the only way they can compete against those bigger schools. Now it's translated into the NFL, and I think that they believe that it gives them a better chance of scoring, putting up a lot of points. But you don't control the time of possession. You're putting your defense right back on the field. You go three and out, six and out, and you put your defense right back on the field, as opposed to changing, and like we've talked about, changing to a pro style offense, running the ball. Tennessee has done it for the past 5-10 years like that, and they've made it to the playoff every year. If they would have had a quarterback, they may have won a couple of Super Bowls.
Absolutely, because the quarterback was the demise of Tennessee, and they were dependent on Derrick Henry, and he still didn't get the raise that he deserves. Now, what kills me is the last couple of years, toward the end of games, and you just said it, when teams have a lead, they don't go to the run to run the clock. That's how you move the clock. These games are going to have lasted longer than before because the clock stops when you miss a pass or something like that. So I just think, and I don't know why I'm so disappointed. It's just that I could see if we had a lack of talent. But Josh Adams, man, he led the NFL in rushing. And for him not to get a raise at all, I was reading a story the other day, Charles, that he sat outside the Raider office and waited for them because he thought for sure he was going to get a multi-year contract and he had to go back home. See, if you think about it, then Charles, if you led the NFL in rushing, you know your confidence level is going to sit there and you're just going to wait for them to give you the money. And for them not to do it, it doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't. And Ben has the figures. Look at what the running backs who signed in the offseason as free agents. Look at the graphics. We got this graphics coming up. But look at the graphics because Miles Sanders was his 4-year deal, I think, for $28 million. It's like $6 million a year. And he was the main guy for Philly. And he didn't get a lot of money, right? And so when you look at the guaranteed money that this guy is getting and you're looking at the other players like Christian McCaffrey, if Christian McCaffrey wasn't playing for Carolina at the time he was playing for Carolina, McCaffrey, and you know how much I like the guy, I guarantee you he wouldn't have probably got the $16 million that he got a year at Carolina.
Well, see, I am so disappointed because I could see if there was a lack of talent or the guys weren't as fast or as quick, but they talk about the running backs come and go more frequently than any other position. And they talk about a car crash. It's like a car crash going 20 times a game. But see, very few running backs are carrying the ball 30 times a game. And I just think that even if they gave an incentive, and you and I have talked about it before, where say you get X amount of dollars if you get 1,000 yards, you get X amount of dollars if you do this, if you lead the team. And for them not to do it, I just can't understand it, and it doesn't make sense to me. Nick Chubb of the Cleveland Browns, he took a big pay cut from what he was making before, and he still got 1,000 yards. And I look at Christian McCaffrey, and I really like him as a running back. And he said himself that he thought that a lot of running backs were not getting what they deserved. And for him to say that as one of the top running backs getting paid, I think it's just a shame. And I am totally taken by it. And I haven't looked at Saquon Barkley getting 2,000 yards like he did his first year. Last year coming up with 1,600 yards rushing and receiving, and to not be compensated, I know he's disappointed also. And you look at the quarterback, the quarterback of the Giants played well, but Barkley played great. And I know that he deserves something for that. And I look at all the good running backs. I look at Adrian Peterson, Charles. He came back quicker than anybody else from a knee surgery. And that shows you the mindset that a running back has on those situations. And for him, he got compensated back then. And even when I came into the league, O.J. Simpson was the top highest paid running back at that time. And so I just think that the way that they're doing it now may hurt the league in the long run, or you may have to get rid of the running back position. And I don't see how, because the running back, and I think it's the ownership because of people getting hurt, Charles, that the reason they're doing that. But I really think that and I've always felt that way, that the running back was one of the best athletes on any team. I mean, you look at the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you look at wide receivers, and in the last probably 10 years, wide receivers, and maybe because they talk so much crap, the wide receivers, they call them the divas of the league. I mean, they used to come back to the quarterback and say, I'm open every time. but they don't get but five or six, seven, eight passes a game. Well, the running back touches the ball between running and passing. The running back touches the ball about 20 times a game. Or Barkley was probably getting around 25 because he catches some passes and running the ball. And he carried the ball one time, 35 times, and that wore him out. And the next game, he wasn't as efficient as he was. But anyway, we call this the Expressway, Billy Taylor and Charles Way. Charles, show me the way, because Charles used to show Tyrone Wheatley and Tiki Barber the way to get through the hole. All they had to do was follow Charles. And see, I just really feel bad they're getting rid of the fullback and don't even play that type of game anymore. But anyway, when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk more about the running backs and talk about a little bit about the Jets, because they have the Hard Knocks show. So keep it where it is. The Expressway will be right back with you after these messages.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with our co-host, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We just finished up our first quarter talking about the trials and tribulations of the running back position, and more specifically, our New York Giants own Saquon Barkley and him and the Giants not being able to come to a resolution on a new contract for Saquon. And Billy, going back to Saquon, we'll move to the Jets and talk about Breece Hall and what the ramifications of all of this fallout from Saquon's lack of deal with Saquon Allen, Saquon Barkley, and Josh, what is it? The guy from the Raiders,
Josh Adams.
Yeah, Josh Adams.
Jacobs,
the fallout from both of those guys not being able to get deals. But I really want to say that when you look at what Saquon has done over the course of 5 years, do you think the Giants are factoring in A, Shane wasn't the one that drafted him? And if you listen to all of the media reports, he probably wouldn't have drafted him as high as the second overall pick in the draft. And then B, do you think he's taken into consideration that you didn't play for two seasons out of the five that we had you signed under contract? So I can't count on you to give you $14, $15, $16 million a year if I can't count on you being healthy, because you don't have a history of being healthy because of the way you play. And so do you think that factored into some of the decision-making the Giants took into consideration?
Yeah, I think it did, because even Christian McCaffrey got hurt 2 years out of that also and didn't play a full season either. I think he did 2 years. But see, the thing that kind of gets me is that they're grouping them as a whole. All you running backs are not getting anything. And because of that, and the thing about it, the game has changed, you know, because they're of the passing situation. But I still feel that what they produce on a team, you know, you look at individually based teams, you look at what Saquon did for the Giants, which he definitely deserves something. Even though he got hurt, he worked his tail off to come back and came back strong. And even though he had a bad shoulder in the middle of the season, he went through all that. And that's what running backs do. They go through the pain, they go through the tribulations, and they still produce. So I still think that regardless of him being hurt, the production that he did leading the Giants to the playoffs, who was more effective? Was it Danny Jones or was it Saquon Barkley?
I agree with you. I think the reason why Daniel Jones has had as much success as he had is because he had Saquon Barkley and the run game to lean on. And I think that's what allows a lot of the mid-level, mid-tier quarterbacks the success that they have. Look at New England and how they play. They actually play a game where he gets it out of the way they're successful. They run the ball and they get the ball out of their hands quick. The problem is if you kind of model your program that you're putting together in NFL after the Patriots, they don't have a superstar running back. They don't have a star running back at their position. So when you look at other teams and say, look, New England's winning 6 Super Bowls and all they have is a quarterback and some yo-hos around them, I may not have to pay for a running back. I can just do it with anybody. And that makes me think, are running backs a product of our success? Look at Austin Eckler from San Diego. He's one of the leading rush all-purpose yards running backs in the league, and he was a free agent, right? So they still are getting the cheap on Eckler because they're still paying him on a free agent deal. He hasn't signed a new contract. So when you look at things like that, and look, and we're talking about the Jets. Let's talk about the Jets. Look at Breece Hall and Michael Carter. They were both interchangeable. The Jets still had a great running game when Breece Hall went down and got hurt.
Yep.
Because Michael Carter was there. And so when Breece Hall comes to the table asking for money, the Jets is going to say, do you see the guy next to you? I rolled with him last year, and all we needed was a good quarterback. So you weren't that important to us. And so when you start playing that game of how important you are and how important you aren't, I think that the question is, if I'm an NFL agent and I'm working for my clients and I'm reading, you know, it's like read the coverage and reading, playing a defense, understanding what the defense is doing and taking what the defense is giving you. As an agent, you got to read the room. And if the room ain't giving you money, you can't expect to get it. You're actually losing money.
Well, the thing that gets me, and I was looking at the NFL getting Peacock, they're getting Amazon Prime, along with ESPN and Fox and stuff. The money is rolling better than it's ever run in the history of the NFL. And they've got better players now, I think, probably in the history of the NFL. You got more good teams. And I just think, I don't know if it's the owner doing this or what it is, but I was trying to check out even the Giants itself. And they play, there's 17 games in the season. They play either 8 or 9 at home. And every game, Charles Way, they make about $2 million in parking. And I just think during the course of a season, you go 7, you go 9 times 2, that's $18 or $19 million just in parking. And I just think that if a guy on your team shows great character, is productive, is a good team leader, is a guy who really wants his teammates to do well as all. Every time somebody does something, I watch who goes over there to congratulate them. Every time Saquon is a team player. If a guy does all that, and if you were making a computer and trying to figure out what kind of running back you'd have, you know, a good character, a good person, integrity, you would bring out Saquon Barkley. So that's the thing that bothers me, because, you know, some people are not good citizens. And I could understand them not getting paid because of their detriment to their team. But what he has done so far from a leadership standpoint, from a productive standpoint, and getting them to the playoffs, which is something they hadn't done in years. A lot of the fans were getting mad at the ownership of the Giants because they hadn't been in the playoffs since 2016. I just think this is pathetic.
No, I can't 100% agree with you. Because when you look at, but take a look, hey Ben, show us a slide with all the top available free agent running backs available. When you look at this list of running backs available, I'm like, these guys have been productive, 1,000-yard guys. You got Ezekiel, like we talked about, Ezekiel Elliott. Leonard Fournette won a Super Bowl with somebody. You may not have to pay him, and you may not like his character and his locker room presence maybe on a team, but the man can play some football. You got Dalvin Cook, 1,700 yards rushing, not passing, but rushing. Dalvin Cook would be good for any team. And he's still out there as a free agent. And like I said at the beginning of the show, is it because they're waiting or asking for too much money? Because teams now are saying, look, no one else has picked you up. I'm not going to pay you $8 million, $10 million for you to come on this team, and you may not be the guy that we think you are. You're going to have to earn it, like a Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is probably waiting because he wants $8 to $10 million. He may not get it. And so what do you do about that?
Yeah, but look at Dalvin Cook. He got 4 years in a row of 1,000 yards rushing. Every year he's been in the league, he's rushed for 1,000 yards. And for them not to compensate him, it just doesn't make sense. And see, the thing about it is that you're almost trying to downplay what a running back does, and I don't know where that comes from. They try to say, well, running backs don't last a long time. Well, then make an incentive package that does when he's productive. And like, for instance, say you say that Barkley gets, say, 15 or 16 million. He's got to do it if he gets 1,000 yards, if he catches so many passes. That's what the incentive is. And for not to even offer that, I feel bad. The thing about it is I was trying to put myself in Saquon Barkley's in his position. He's got to be mad. And I don't see how he comes in. And the question I was going to ask you, Charles, is that, you know, if this happens again next year, that means 7 years for Barkley not being able to go around to other teams because the Giants have the franchise tag on him. And I just think it's a negative situation for him being in the greatest city in the United States, the most expensive city, and not being able to compensate for it because, you know, they're trying to downplay it. I think maybe the running back situation is broken.
And only a $3 million raise next year. Yeah. He gets a $3 million raise if he plays underneath the franchise tag again. And the problem is, but going back to my point before earlier, as an agent being able to read the room, you have to talk to your client and say, hey, look, you're going to lose out. You're not going to get this money back. You won't get it back because they already aren't paying running backs. And so if you think you're going to get this money back, you're not going to get it. So you just lost $2 million. Let's say his deal was $12 million that he didn't want. You lose $2 million just on principle.
Yep.
And right. See,
the thing about it also is that they have you by the cojones. They got you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you could do. As a matter of fact, they were saying, well, what would Saquon Barkley do now? His only option is to sit out the season. And if he does that, he loses $10 or $11, $12 million. That is not a good option at all. Don't ever lose that money. So he really has no thing is to put his head between his legs and come on in and just be humble. And that's a bad thing for a football player because you want to be excited about your team. The good thing is the Giants have some good passing, some good receivers, tight ends. They can really help the team. And they're going to be a better offense because of it. So why not make somebody happy? And that's just something that bothers me, Charles Wade.
And like I said, the longer he hangs out and waits, I'm telling you, teams, I don't care how great you are, I think teams feel, we already said it, teams do not value that position as like they once did. And no matter if Saquon Barkley was reincarnate of Barry Sanders, I guarantee you Barry Sanders probably wouldn't be, I told you this before, Barry Sanders probably wouldn't be making what he made when he was at the top of his game, because Barry was one of the highest paid running backs in the league at the time when they started paying guys. And I don't think they would even value him in this type of league today. It's the wide receiver. You got to be a good wide receiver. You got to be a good D lineman, cornerback, and O lineman. Those are the four positions that get paid.
Do you think because the wide receivers are divas and they talk too much trash and they complain about not catching the ball? And I think it started with some of the wide receivers back in the day of coming back to the huddle, telling the quarterback, because even Odell Beckham would come back every time and tell the quarterback he's wide open. Even if he wasn't, he would say that. And do you think that has something to do with maybe surpassing the running backs for money?
I think that and the advent that because we're in a passing league now, you get a chance to highlight your skills. And if you have those type of skills that they're looking for, that's what they're going to gravitate to. Because if you can make plays in the open space, now that defenders can't touch you as much, you're able to do a lot of more things than you were back in the day, where they could grab you, punch you, knock you out before you even break off a route. And nowadays they can barely touch you after 5 yards. So it's a different game today. And like I said, don't blame me that you were born at a certain era. I mean, you see these old guys and like, man, I'm better than that guy. Why couldn't I get $20 million, right? What do you think Lawrence Taylor could have been in Patrick Mahomes' atmosphere, getting 40 million plus, sacking somebody 16 to 20 times a year, right? So think about it. Lawrence Taylor is probably rolling over saying, man, if I were just born 20 years later, I would be making $100 million. But it is, honestly, as a running back, it is what it is. I just think as an agent, you have to kind of understand where we are and make it an incentive-laden contract where you can recoup that money. If you stay healthy and you produce, you can recoup the money that you deserve.
Yeah, but you break it down, Charles. The most a receiver catches the ball, I think that I tied, and the Giants' record is either 12 or 13 passes in the game, but when I was playing, I tied the record for most receptions in the game, which was 11. And so I don't see receivers catching 11 passes during the course of a game. I see maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 during the course of a game. Somebody gets a little bit more, but you can take a receiver out of the game. Belichick has shown you that. So I'm disappointed in a bunch of areas. But anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about the NFC, the standings in the NFC, who we project possibly may who do well in the NFC. And so keep it where it is. The Expressway with Charles Way, Show Me the Way, and the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We'll be right back with more after these messages.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to the Expressway. We are jam-packed jamming with an exciting show focused strictly on running back. Since Saquon is upset, we're upset, and we're going to devote most of this show to exposing all of our grievances about the anti-running back sentiment that's going around the NFL today and around the league. And so this is a great segment. I was talking to Billy. I was like, Billy, given how running backs are such a low priority and value today, and based on the criteria that we expect the running back from a resume standpoint, since the Hall of Fame is around the corner, we're about to go to Canton and play the Hall of Fame game. We're going to get new enshrinees. I thought it would be good because I couldn't think of one. I wanted to ask you, out of these next running backs, we're going to go to this next slide. I got a list of running backs to show you. Out of this group of running backs, are any of these running backs potential gold jacket worthy? And so let's go through each running back one by one based on the career they have now. And you need to tell me yes, and how much longer, if it is yes, how much longer will they have to play to make it a definite yes? So let's get the next slide and let's see this list.
All right, name the first one, Charles.
All right, the next slide, the slide we have is, let's go with the first guy we got. The first guy on the list is Nick Chubb. Cleveland Browns. What do you think?
He took a pay cut, and he's making, he was making 10 or 11. Now he's making five. I mean, he went down that low just to kind of not argue with the people. I don't know if he's going to make the Hall of Fame because I don't know if he will be productive. And his team hasn't really done well. They made the playoffs one time under Baker. And so I don't know with Deshaun Watson. They're going to have a big year this year. And maybe because of the passing situation, they might not give him the ball as much. So that has to be a question mark on that.
All right. And so I think we know the answer to this, but Derrick Henry.
Absolutely. Not even a maybe. As a matter of fact, he's the only team in the NFL that rushes like they're supposed to. If they had a quarterback, they would have been in the Super Bowl because they lost to Cincinnati in a game where their quarterback threw three interceptions, and that cost them the game. And as I always say, if the quarterback doesn't make a mistake or you don't turn the ball over, you got a chance. But unquestionably, Derrick Henry is on his way to getting the gold jacket.
But he is the only running back on our list that has a resume based off of the past resumes of other running backs in the NFL and in the Hall of Fame today. I don't think if you look at this list, the rest of the list as a whole, no one else meets a criteria of longevity, number of carries, number of yards. I don't think you would see that in any of the other running backs that we go through.
Well, I can't see it at all because, as I even said before, at the end of a game, when you're trying to run the clock out, they don't do that. And that kind of makes me mad because I feel that they're definitely a situation where if you were doing the right thing, you would use the clock and allow the running back to kind of close the game. And that kind of makes me mad.
Yeah. And then what about Christian McCaffrey? And when you look at Christian McCaffrey, I think he has. What's going to hurt Christian McCaffrey is his longevity and his ability to stay healthy. I don't think not one year that he's played in the NFL, whether it be with Carolina or San Francisco, he has been healthy an entire season. So for me, as much talent and as explosive as he is, I have to say no, just because I don't know if he'll be healthy enough to be considered gold jacket worthy.
I think you got to make between 11 and 12,000 yards as a running back, because you look at the guy who played for the Giants, O.J. Anderson. He's got 10,000 yards. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame. And you look at the running backs in there. You look at the running back that used to play with the Washington Redskins, Adrian Peterson, and he came back from numerous injuries. He's got 11 or 12,000 yards. He's in the top 10 rushing. He might be the one to make the Hall of Fame, but the other guys are not going to get enough playing time or carries to be able to do that. And like I said, I don't know. It almost seems, Charles, like a conspiracy against the running backs. And I hate to say that, but it doesn't make sense to me because, as I said before, I think running back is one of the most talented positions in all of sports, because a running back is a good basketball player, is a great athlete, can play other sports. I think I could have played pro baseball, let alone anything else. So that kind of it makes me have to rethink my thought process of where they are coming from.
Yeah, and when you look, and I guess my question to you and the Hall of Fame voters as a whole is, do you have to change the criteria based on the era the running back played? Because you're not getting a running back running 30, carrying the ball 30 times a game like you did in the past. And so are you going to have to change your criteria if you ever nominate or elect a running back into the Hall of Fame from this era?
Well, do you think the running back criteria, because nobody's getting the ball 30 times except Derrick Henry. So I'm trying to think, are you going to change the criteria for what makes a Hall of Fame? And the Football Hall of Fame is legitimate. You got to be a great player to be named the Hall of Fame in the NFL. There are so many outstanding running backs with Jimmy Brown and Franco Harris and Tony Dorsett. There's a lot of great ones. And the thing about it is that they were instrumental in their team having success. And so we're in a new era again, and maybe you and I have to change our thought process, because I'm still a little bit perturbed, even though it doesn't affect me at all. I just think I'm perturbed at the way that they're treating them. And I just don't understand it, because the owner of the Giants, the co-owner of the Giants, John Mara, said he wanted Saquon to be a Giant forever. And I remember in my third or fourth year, the assistant general manager said the same thing to me. I want you to be a Giant forever. And then I left after my fourth year. So Saquon, this is his fifth year, coming up on his sixth year. I'm going to see if John Mara is serious.
Well, that's the game of football. It's like the money talks. And in order for you to be competitive, you gotta feel the best team out there possible. And look at it, playing devil's advocate. We talked about, if you're a Hall of Fame running back, carries the ball 30-something times a game, or they used to carry the ball 30-something times a game. But when Saquon did it, he the next week, look at what happened the next week.
Yep.
And so his body couldn't take it. And maybe because he's not used, his body isn't used to it. When we were coming up, that's all we did. If you knew you were carrying the ball 30 times a game, week in and week out, and you would probably get two plays off and you back out there, right? You don't even remember Barry Sanders' backup, because he was probably never out there, right? And so when you look at that, the greatest platoon of great running backs was Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen. Remember that when they both?
Absolutely.
So if you're talking, and that kind of started that advent of platooning and switching people guy in and out. Yep. But back in the day, it was give him the ball until we gave him the ball enough where he couldn't go anymore. And so when you look at that, you don't see that now. You don't see it now. And so when you look at Josh Jacobs for Las Vegas, he's probably the closest I would think if you're looking at the top three true running backs that have a chance to end up in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Derrick Henry, we both agree on that. If Saquon can stay healthy for another 3 to 5 years, he has to stay healthy for at least 3 more years.
Yep.
Right. But I think he's going to need 5 to make it in the Hall of Fame. And Josh Jacobs are probably the only 3. I just don't think Christian McCaffrey is going to stay healthy enough or does enough for me to be considered Hall of Fame worthy.
Well, see, the thing about it is he's playing for a different system where they got multi-talented people in San Francisco, and he's just going to be kind of like the head of the snake. And I think that I'm anxious to see how San Francisco does this year by not wearing them out. And maybe this system allows running backs to play even longer because they're not taking a beating. And I remember, Charles, my first game that I got 100 yards, I carried the ball 33 times, and I couldn't go the next week. I mean, I started and everything, but I was beat up. And I think that nobody else anywhere carries the ball that many times. No tight end, no wide receiver, no fullback. And I just think that they're not doing it the right way. And I don't know if they realize it is a public relation problem, because everybody in the United States knew about Saquon Barkley. I had a guy call me from California, another guy from Florida. They said, what's wrong with the Giants? Why wouldn't they sign someone who had a productive year and brought them to a different level of performance? What are the Giants doing wrong? So that's the questions I get, because I think they're going by the rest of the NFL. They're not going by what they think. I think they're trying to get the pattern of the NFL and try to go with them. But I just think Saquon, you know, he's got to be disappointed.
I definitely think he is. I think this is a sad week for all running backs around the world, past, present, and future. A lot of old running backs are rolling around in their graves. Franco Harris may be haunting somebody right now. Jim Brown haunting people right now, just trying to figure out what is going on with these running backs. And so we got a lot to get off of our chest. We've been through 3 quarters talking about all things running backs. First part of the show, obviously, we apologize for not getting to a lot more stuff that we have, but this is very important. This is a great subject to talk about, because it is an issue. It is something that we need to look at and see what we could do or what the NFL can do to highlight the importance of that position again. But we'll be right back in a moment. We're going to talk. We're going to change up gears, get away from the running back and talk NBA basketball and why players are always looking on the other side for greener pastures. We'll be right back in a moment.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We've just gone through three quarters talking all things running backs, all things Saquon Barkley, and all things who can ever make it into the Hall of Fame as a running back nowadays, given that there is not the running back position is not important. But speaking of running backs not being important, I have a question. We got into a little debate and banter about the Jets ending up on Hard Knocks, getting that publicity, getting that shine, because they are the darlings of the NFL. They got Aaron Rodgers, and there's a lot of excitement around the team. You can't go outside of New Jersey or New York without finding a Jets fan being excited, saying, "We got a chance to go. Don't rain on my parade." Everybody's thinking, and all of the Jets fans that I talked to are just waiting for Aaron Rodgers to get hurt week 12 of the season and they end up out of the playoff, right? It's like doom and gloom. They are so excited, and the season has so many good expectations for it. They just can't wait to see it fall apart. But I don't think it'll fall apart. They have a great team, great defense, great offense. But they're ending up this offseason training camp on Hard Knocks. And we talked about this, them being on Hard Knocks and having, this is an important season for them. And I think that it could be a somewhat of a distraction when you're bringing in this new quarterback. Luckily, he's a veteran, but you still have a very young team. And you know, we're in the social media age, and every it's all about appearance. And they're going to be able to read, unlike when we were playing, they're going to be able to read comments on how they look, what they said, what people perceive them, what do they think on the show, and will it turn from being about football or being about the show? What do you think?
Well, there's two things that come to mind. Number one, as a former running back like you and I are, you think about the first time University of Virginia played on TV and the first time you were playing running back on TV. You was aware of everything. You knew what was going on. I went to Texas Tech. And I think my junior year, we were number four in the nation, and I knew the cameras were on us everywhere, and it made me more concentrated, made me more aware. And I think that's the situation I hope happens with the Jets, that they realize what they have to do, they concentrate more, and they don't make the mistakes they made because they're working hard in the meetings. Because when you are on Hard Knocks, they are in the meetings room, they are in the locker room, they're in the training room, they're in every part of it. So you can't really ease up. You got to be on your P's and Q's all the time. But the other side is that, you know, because of the publicity, it might make it kind of tough for you. And Aaron Rodgers said he didn't like it, you know, and a lot of coaches in the NFL say no to it when they come to them about Hard Knocks. I know many teams. And why have the Giants not been on there? Because somebody had to say no. I know for sure they asked him, so I don't know what to think. Is it good or is it bad, Charles? Is it great publicity for you, especially the Jets, who haven't made the playoffs in over 10 years? So I don't know if this is good or bad, but it's going to bring out the either the worst or the best in the Jets.
Yeah, for me I'm taking a different perspective on this. As a player, I wasn't all about the media and the flash, and I was one of those old school, just let me play the game. It's not about the media. But nowadays, given there's so much money in the game, and the more the fans get involved, actually, the more money players make, right? So it's probably beneficial for players to really kind of warm up to the idea that cameras are around, that they can kind of be themselves around the cameras, let the fans in to understand what's going on behind the scenes. Because as a Giants fan, as a Jets fan, you're not in the locker room. You're reading a newspaper to try to get all the little news that you can get to find out what's going on, so you can decipher and you can play GM or head coach yourself, right? And so this gives an average fan an opportunity to be in that locker room, be around the team, so that they can get a feel for what's going on outside of the games, right? And so I think it adds to the connectivity that the NFL, the Jets are trying to create with their fans, because like you said, it's a $1 billion industry. Tickets aren't cheap, right? To go to a football game. And so you got to do whatever you can to encourage your fans to buy those expensive tail tickets, as well as those seat licensing agreements that the Giants and Jets have too. So you want to make it as appealing as you can. And this is a way to make those Jets games appealing to fans.
I think one positive aspect is that because social media has come to a certain level, and players back in my day could do stuff and nobody would know they're doing it. They could stay out late at nighttime, go to clubs, do different things, and nobody was out there taking pictures or putting them in a situation. And now that's all changed, because as an athlete, you can't go anywhere without being recognized. And so maybe because of that situation, it kind of helps them to kind of realize things, and they're not going to do anything negative to bring anything bad to the organization. So that might be a positive, because you're bringing somebody in and they're just really filming about what the team is about, because nobody's going to do anything bad or crazy or to bring attention to themselves. So that might be a positive aspect.
And I think Hard Knocks has helped a lot of free agents who didn't actually make the team go on and start and be successful off the field. And so I think it's a great venue for guys who know how to utilize it, can become a media darling, become a camera darling, and that's what it's for. And if you are that darling that people love and want to see, or you have a story that people want to hear, utilize that and make money. Obviously, as a running back, this is another way to make some money. Since the team ain't paying us, I'm gonna get the fans to pay me. If I'm Breece Hall, I got to figure out a way to come up with $5 million gap that I'm not going to get from the Jets. So let me get on Hard Knocks. Let me start publicizing my T-shirt line or my hat line. Or let me get Nike to make me a sneaker so I can get the residuals off of my sneaker and sell them on Hard Knocks. Since you ain't paying me, I got to find a way to get some money anyway.
That is positive. the thing for me too is that it makes players realize that you really have to deal with the media. Mm-hmm. I remember I was covering baseball a couple of years ago, and there was a guy who played with the Baltimore Orioles, Eddie Murray, who wouldn't talk to the media, and it really hurt him. Anytime an athlete has some problems with the media, and let me give you another example: Patrick Ewing of the Knicks. He wouldn't talk to the media. I mean, he did sometimes, but he wouldn't sign autographs. And when you do that kind of stuff, you get turned off by a lot of people. And I think that's why he did not get a head coaching job in the NBA. He had to settle for Georgetown. All the other athletes who dealt with the media, they got a chance to coach because of them having a rapport with the media and showing that they're people, persons. So I just think it's a two-way street, and athletes have to learn that the media is going to be there with or without you, and you might as well step up and deal with them, because they're going to be there forever.
Yeah, I think guys today, especially in this era, because of social media, they're already fan-facing, and so this is nothing new. Back in our day, we didn't have social media, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have any of that. So. Yep. We were dealing with old school coaches where they didn't want you talking to the media in the first place. think about it. Bill Parcells didn't even want the media in the locker room, right? And so I heard some stories about that. So and then back in the day, all the coaches thought you were telling you were the leak of the locker room when you would talk to the media. So it was a different mindset back then. And now I think it's changed. Now look at colleges, because of the name, image, likeness deal that they got going on, they are always fan facing. All they do is social media. All they do is sell themselves to the highest bidder. So they are they understand the value of marketing. And I think Hard Knocks now in this era, because of social media, I think players are more apt to be able to deal with it now than they were when we played.
I totally agree with that. And we're going to switch it up very quickly for the last couple of minutes. And one of your teams that you love, the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid was on a program the other day, said he wants to win a championship and it may not be in Philadelphia. And I thought that was a negative. I really did, because you think about it. They gave up a lot of games in the very beginning years to be able to get to this point. And you don't want to lose him at all. But my problem is that he didn't show up for game 7 and he's blaming other people instead of blaming himself.
Well, first of all, if you know Joel, his nickname or his Twitter handle is Joel the Troll Embiid. So he likes to troll the Philly fans all the time. And so he loves Philly. As far as I know, Daryl Morey just had an interview yesterday saying that he spoke to Joel. He was just trolling the fans again just because they ripe for it. Because everybody's talking about if they don't get a Robin or another good piece when they trade Harden, he's going to be the next guy to go. Joel was just playing around with the fans because the fans give him the business. When he's doing bad, they're booing him and getting him out of here, trade him. And Joel, and you know what? You talk about a guy that loves social media. We just got finished talking about a guy front-facing, wants to be in the media all the time. Joel Embiid, that's all he does. He looks at his social media and looks at the comment section all the time. Like if I'm a star, and you know how comment sections can be god-awful sometimes, why would you even want to see what people are saying about you? And so I think he loves it. He loves the attention. That guy wants to be the forefront. And this was a perfect venue for him to kind of tease the fans and say, you know what? I don't care if I win a championship in Philly or if it has to be somewhere else. And so people picked up on that and just made it a big deal.
But see, I don't want him to leave Philadelphia. I thought that, they deserve to win. If they were ahead 3-2 going into Boston, they lost both games. They had a chance to advance to the next round. And then the only thing that kind of made me mad is he complained that he didn't get the ball enough. If you're a center, you can go the way they are these days. You can go take the ball because, you know, the centers are shooting from three pointers. Like he shot a bunch of three pointers too. And you should not give an excuse that you didn't get the ball enough. And that kind of got to me a little bit, because if you're the leader of that team, you can go up to your point guard and say, don't even touch the ball. Throw it to me. You can do that kind of stuff. So he's matured over the years. He's still got a little ways to go now, Charles. Because, you know, if you're the leader of the team, you need to lead by example. And sometimes, you know, I don't think he does that.
No, you're absolutely right. I think now that Nick Nurse is the new head coach of the Sixers, I think he'll be and he's known to do quirky things. He's going to have some quirky offenses. I think one of the things, the differences that he's mentioned, and I think you'll see, is that Joel will play somewhat like Jokic in Denver. The offense will run through him. He'll have to be able to pass the ball a lot better than he did. The offense is truly going to run through him, and he's going to be asked to be Nikola Jokic-like and be able to facilitate just like Nikola Jokic. He may not be as good of a facilitator, but he doesn't need to be a great facilitator. He just needs to be able to find the open guy and guys driving through the passing lanes and make those pinpoint passes.
I think that if he takes anything from Jokic, it's that he better be a better passer. If you think, because he's so tall, he sees the whole court. So I think if you work on that, he can become better at that, get more assists for his team, and lead the team to victory. But I just think that he, and every year he's improved. So we'll see what happens this coming year because, you know, more people are listening to him and they're paying attention to the 76ers. So we'll just have to see what happens. But I want him to do well. It's just that some of the things that come out of his mouth, just I can't understand.
It's going to be exciting to see the league this year. It's going to be a lot of changes in the league. And I can't wait to see. NBA basketball is exciting. I'm not happy about the tournament. We've talked about that. Even though they're not adding any games, I'm still not happy about the tournament. I just don't see the significance in having a tournament, especially when guys can't stay healthy for all 82 games as it is, and you're going to add more intense competition to that. And so it'll be tough. I don't know if a lot of teams are going to buy into it. They're going to try, but I don't know how many teams will buy into it. You're going to still see guys resting or taking a sabbatical in season to get their bodies right. So it's up in the air for me.
You've been listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. And every week we're on and we try to get different subjects. And we got to thank Ben back at the studio because Ben has taken care of us for a long time. He does an outstanding job making us sound even better than we are. So until next week, for Charles Show Me the Way, I'm Billy Taylor, the BT Express. Have a great week, everybody. See you next week.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.